You showed these pictures before. But it's nice to see them again. We'll describe a little bit more because these were at the very end. This is part of Antardweep. Antardweep. Yes. Antardweep is the central island, the corolla of the nine islands, and the central island is the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born. Somebody's head's in the way. It looks like Nandan's head's in the way. The layout or the arrangement in Navadvip was that the Prabhupada explained this when he was designing or going for a walk and pointing with his cane where the Mayapur temple, the main Adbhuta Mandir would be, and over there would be the Goshal, and in there, that area the Vaishyas would live. Over here in this area is where the Kshatriyas would live, in the four corners over there is where the Brahmanas would live. So, as Prabhupada was describing to us, a classic or an ideal village or community is where persons of like nature would come together, and so it was with the Brahminical community. They resided in very close quarters to one another, especially the Vaishnavas. So Srivas Angan is just a short distance from the house of Jagannath Mishra. In fact, in Bhakti Ratnakar, it even gives how many paces from Jagannath Mishra's home that Nimai would have to go, little toddler Nimai, to go get Chaitanya, or get his brother Vishwarup to come home and have lunch. So Srivas's home, Advaita's home. Further down the road is Chandrasekhar Acharya's home. Behind Chandrasekhar Acharya's home was Mukunda Datta. So those are all within very, very close proximity to one another, and we're going to visit them. We already visited the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and accompanied with the crying of a small child, we'll visit Srivasangan. The home of the Sankirtan pastime. We just had little Sankirtan and house of Srivasangan. They had Utkirtan, or Prem Sankirtan, where everyone in the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tasted Krishna Prema in his association. The name underneath Srivasangan is this Kol Bangar Danga, the place where the Mridanga drum was broken by Chankazi. So that's not nice, the drum was broken, but it precipitated the public chanting of the holy name, because prior to that event, everything was done on the other side of the boundary wall, in closed doors and locked from the inside, where the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have such ecstatic kirtan, very loud kirtan all night long, nobody could sleep. Crying and the people calling out loudly in loud kirtan, tumultuous kirtan. It unsettled the Brahminical community. This is the temple. This is the hall, mandap, the area. This is put of shoes sign. And the temple over here, and the residential quarters for the devotees looking from the other side, the main gate. And the temple of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan, along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very nice picture. She was in the front. The Mahaprakash Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the central altar. The Leela that was enacted on this particular occasion was very unique. Mahaprabhu would perform Sankirtan as a devotee, as one of the devotees. And his mood was the mood of a devotee. But one evening instead, when the Kirtan began, shortly after the Kirtan began, he just walked right towards the altar and sat on the altar. In the language of Chaitanya Bhagavat, on the throne of Vishnu. And he told all the devotees, I am he. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Come forward and worship me. Perform Abhishek. A nice picture of the gates closed and Lord Ashrami Dev in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he's seated on the throne. And they performed Abhishek. The devotees were very happy. They went to the Ganga, very close by, and potful and potful and potful. You see how many potfuls with ladies with the pots of Ganges water, and just poured water on Mahaprabhu's head. Performed Abhishek. And then they got fresh garments and put fresh garments, just like dressing the deity. Fresh garments and ornaments and garland. And then he ordered them, bring food for me to eat, make offerings to me, just like worshipping the deity. Perform arati. They performed arati. So we have that Gaura Arati song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur describing this wonderful event. And then one by one he called the devotees forward. I'll give a couple of them. One of them was Gadadhar Das. No, excuse me, Gangadas. Gangadas Pandit, his teacher. So he's in the mood of Lord Vishnu, exhibiting that mood. And he said, Gangadas, do you remember long before I was born, there was an invasion of the Muslim soldiers, and everybody in Navadvipa was told to vacate because you might lose your life, and you were very much afraid. You had two younger daughters and a wife, and you were afraid that the soldiers might violate them. And so you're in great anxiety. So you ran quickly with your family members to the Ganga, and you could hear the soldiers approaching. And there was no way to cross the river. Suddenly there was a boatman that carried you across the river to the other side, and you profusely thanked that boatman for saving the life and welfare of your children, your two girls, and your wife. Gangadas, that boatman was me. I came when you were calling the name of the Supreme Lord because you are such an elevated Vaishnava, calling in love for the personality of God to give you protection, and I came and personally protected you. Gangadas, do you remember? Gangadas just looked at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with folded hands and fainted to the ground unconscious. One after one, there's a whole long chapter, but a very glorious description of the Mahaprakash Leela, calling for Haridas Thakur, calling for Kolavichar Sridhar, Mukunda Datta, one by one, calling all the devotees. And when it went all night long, one very wonderful section is they notice that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hadn't called Gadadhar, no, Mukunda. Not Mukunda Datta, but Mukunda. Mukunda Das. So they said, why, you've given your mercy to everybody. You haven't called Mukunda Das. He said, never will I have anything to do with that person. But you've descended to give your mercy to all the fallen souls. And he's your devotee. He's that offender. In the name of liberalism, he goes and listens to anybody and everybody. And then he encourages our Vaishnavas to go and hear those anybody and everybody personalities that speak impersonal philosophy and any crazy thing. In the name of liberality. I want nothing to do with Mukunda. You tell that fool that he should never come again in my company. And Mukunda was at a distance. He was a humble Vaishnav. And so when he heard this, he felt terrible. Lord Chaitanya's banished me. So they pleaded with Mahaprabhu again and again. If you won't give your mercy to him now, will there ever be a time? Mukunda wants to know, will there ever be a time that you will give him your mercy? And Mahaprabhu said, not for 100 lifetimes. And as soon as Mukunda heard this message, he started dancing, and dancing, and dancing, jubilantly. In 100 lifetimes, I'll again get Lord Chaitanya's association. This was reported to Lord Chaitanya, who said, bring that Mukunda here. You are my devotee, but this behavior is never to be done. Never again. Go here and there listening to all kinds of things. Give up that practice. Then you'll be safe in the association of the Vaishnavas. There's an old painting of one of the evenings they were having kirtan at the house of Srivas Pandit. And Srivas Pandit heard some crying in those back rooms. So he left the kirtan hall and went into the back rooms to find out what the crying was about. And he was told by the servants of the family that his young son had died. He just left his body. And Srivas Pandit said, why are you crying? This is wonderful. For one to leave their body in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in one's home, when the wonderful kirtan, the chanting of the holy name is going on. What a wonderful, auspicious departure from this world. Surely our son has gone to the abode of Vaikuntha. And you're lamenting? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you continue to cry, and this crying disturbs Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan, I'll go drown myself in the Ganges at once. Stop your crying. And he went back into the kirtan and was dancing and dancing and dancing and dancing and dancing. After some hours passed, Mahaprabhu stopped the kirtan and said, Srivas, there's something wrong. No, my lord, everything is wonderful in your presence, the chanting of the holy name. What could be wrong? And someone said, Mahaprabhu, he's not telling you that his son just died in the back room. And Mahaprabhu was astonished to hear this. He said, take me there. I want to go at once. And he saw the body of Srivas Pandit's son lying in his deathbed, lifeless. And he placed his hand on his chest and said, Oh, son of, I forget his name. Oh, son of Srivas, rise. Don't you see the lamentation of your mother and father? Their separation from you is going to be very difficult for them to bear. Please come back and bring them happiness once again. At once the boy opened up his eyes and sat up in his bed and looked around the room and said, Oh my Lord, I don't know why you brought me here. Because you're saying that my mother and this is my mother and father. They were my mother and father in my previous life, but I've gone to the abode of my eternal father. And you've called me back here. So I'm your servant. What can I do? But whatever it is that you request of me. But at the same time, the abode of Vaikuntha is awaiting me. I have some service to do there. So with your permission, may I go? And everyone was thunderstruck. Mahaprabhu made a miracle. He brought the dead son of Srivas back to life. And now here the dead son is asking permission to go again to his next destination. Mahaprabhu smiled and he closed his eyes, laid down, and gave up his life again. Directly in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Such was the faith of Srivas Pandit. There's another wonderful lila that's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. One time Srivas went to the home of Jagannath Mishra to pay his respects to Lord Chaitanya. And when he came before Lord Chaitanya, he was seated by the side of Lord Nityananda. So he came and paid his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya, and then his obeisances to Lord Nityananda. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Srivas, what kind of etiquette is this? What are you doing? He said, I'm paying my respects to you, and then in turn I'm paying my respects to Lord Nityananda. Have I done something wrong? He said, Srivas, you're a learned Brahmin. Learned Brahmin should know Vaishnava etiquette. You go back home, and when you come tomorrow, you tell me what you've understood from this discussion. So Srivas went home. And that night he had a dream. And in his dream, he saw Krishna and Balaram. Krishna, in his blackish complexion, smiling and showing his respect to his elder brother Balaram. And suddenly in his dream, Krishna became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Balaram became Lord Nityananda. And they both smiled at Srivas in his dream. And Krishna had said, He is my elder brother and I offer all respects to him, Lord Balaram. That was the dream that Srivas Pandit had. So the next morning, after finishing his morning puja, immediately went once again to the house of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's residence at Jagannath Mishra's home. And he paid obeisances to Lord Nityananda. And then he rose and he paid obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said practically the same thing again. Srivas, you're a learned Brahmin. Don't you know Vaishnava etiquette? Why are you doing like this? And Srivas Pandit just smiled. Because you instructed me in this way. And I am just your servant. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with him. He was chewing betel and he gave the betel nut half chewed to Srivas Pandit. And immediately Srivas Pandit took the betel nut and began chewing and left the house of Jagannath Mishra. Very, very happy. This is the altar where the drum, which sometimes they put a broken drum on the altar, where Chandkazi came and smashed the drum. ordering the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to stop this noise disturbing all the residents of Navadvip. If you don't obey this order, I will have all of the homes of the Vaishnavas ruined and convert you all into Muslims by sprinkling water on you. This is Gadadhar Angan, the residence of Gadadhar Pandit, just behind the courtyard area of Srivas. Advaita Acharya's residence, where it is from this place, not at Shantipur, but from this place where he called Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to descend, and Gadadhar Angan, the deities of Gaur Gadadhar, are pictured here, where Gadadhar Pandit also kept residence. Another time we'll describe more about Gadadhar Pandit's life. It's a wonderful, wonderful depiction. A different dress Pujari is offering Arti. Just down the road is Chaitanya Gaudiya Math, which was the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Chandrasekhar Acharya lived. Chandrasekhar Acharya's wife was the older sister of Mother Sachi. So when Jagannath Mishra died, or left his body, leaving Sachi a widow, Chandrasekhar Acharya acted like the father for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so the relationship was very, very intimate. The wedding, the second marriage of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. A fantastic drama that was desired by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The script was written by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The choreography was done by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The costumes were designed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The director of the drama was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the chief actor in the drama was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his associates. It was fantastic drama at the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. A whole chapter in Chaitanya Bhagavat describes that drama. This is the main temple, the Gandharvika Giridhari. A nice story behind these deities. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had the plan, here's a close-up, had the plan to establish Radha Krishna deities here, he personally went to Jaipur to select the deities. In Jaipur there's many Murti Wallas shops where they make deities. So when he reached one shop, immediately the shop owner came out and said, "My dear sir, I have the deities for you. They're waiting." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Last night I had a dream. Recently I completed the carving of these deities, and they came in my dream and said, tomorrow morning, very early, one sannyasi is going to come, a sadhu, a follower of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is going to come to your shop. I want to be worshipped by him. You provide my form as a gift to him, so that he can worship me. And when I saw you coming down the road, I knew it was you. Here's the deity." So that's how he acquired Gandharvika Giridhari. Very intimate relation with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There aren't pictures here, but if you look at the altar from the side, there's a side view, you can see there are other deities also. Those other deities were deities that were kept there for safekeeping because there were places where dacoits came and would try to plunder the temple and steal the deity, and so to keep the deities safe, the deities you brought here to this headquarters of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Here is from the bottom, this is Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, chapter 16, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes a conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Nimbarka, Nimbarkacharya, one of the four acharyas of the disciplic succession. So, Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Swami, Madhvacharya, and Nimbarkacharya are the four primary preceptors of the four disciplic successions. I'm going to show you their... Well, we'll go back. These are the murtis that are presently found on the four corners of that altar, the Gandharva Giridhari altar. Who is this one? Madhva. When you see these two fingers of his right hand raised, immediately you should know. Madhvacharya, because he taught Dvaita philosophy. Similar. This is in the summer attire. This is the winter attire. Madhvacharya. And Nimbarkacharya is cut off on the right-hand side, but it's Nimbarkacharya. And Ramanujacharya, the Vishishta Advaita, gives their darshan, or the doctrine that was taught. Dvaita was Nimbarkacharya. And Vishnu Swami. So these four preceptors of the disciplic successions, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and it was consecrated in this deity form or murti form by Bhaktisiddhanta, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted two essential items from each of the four sampradayas to establish his own teaching. So from Madhva, I will receive two essential items. These are these complete defeat of Mayavad philosophy and service to the deity of Krishna, like in Udupi. The main deity is Krishna. There's other temples with other Leela avatar forms of the Lord, with the central deity that Madhva worshipped. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Madhva's line, the worship of the deity of Krishna as the eternal supreme spiritual being. Ramanuja had two very, very prominent teachings. Bhakti unmixed with karma and gyan. Very important part of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Anyabhilashita shunyam, jnana karma ajanavritam. And service to the devotees. Vaishnava seva. When we hear about the teachings of and the life of Ramanujacharya, very, very prominent. And very prominent in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. From Vishnu Swami, the sentiment of exclusive dependence on Krishna. Tadiya Sarvasva Bhav. And the path of Raga Bhakti, or Raga Nuga Sadhana Bhakti, is Rupa Goswami's way of describing. The path of spontaneous devotion from Vishnu Swami. And from Nimbarkacharya, taking shelter of Radha, or adding Radha Krishna, because like in Udupi, it's Udupi Krishna. There's no Radha by his side. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established Radha Krishna worship. And same as in Nimbarkacharya, this importance of taking shelter of Radha to get the mercy of Krishna. And Gopi Bhav, the high esteem of the Gopi's love for Krishna. Every year there's a near Varsana, which is the home of Srimati Radharani, there's a camp of Nimbarkacharya pilgrims. And there's a huge number of people. One year when we were in Prakrama, we were at Ter Kadamba. Someone was there with us. It has happened. We were, it's like in this grove of kadamba trees, and we were all of a sudden inundated by this huge party of Nimbarkacharya followers. All we could do was just have kirtan. It was nice kirtan. And it took a long time for them to pass because we couldn't mobilize with this army of people coming in. Anyway, these two components are part of their teachings. And from Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was describing this to Nimbarkacharya, what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did, following his father and following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he made it a point to not just emphasize the differences of the disciplic successions, but that he certainly knew, but what were the common factors? Of course, the common factor paramount is worship of Vishnu, because all are Vaishnava sampradayas. And then these particular points of similarity, Madhvacharya, Nimbarkacharya, Ramanujacharya, and Vishnu Swami. At his main temple on the Four Corners, this is how important it was for Bhaktisiddhanta's preaching mission. Hare Krishna. Okay. This is the samadhi of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur seen from a distance. Here it is more close on the other side of the Gandharvaka Giridhari temple is this courtyard, and inside the courtyard is the the pictures are all mixed up, sorry about that. This is the samadhi of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And we recently observed the disappearance day of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in our Vaishnava calendar. I was in Orlando on the day of Bhaktisiddhanta's disappearance day, and Trivikram Maharaj told a little story. He said one day he was serving Prabhupada, giving massage. He did that as a service for some time from Prabhupada. And as he was massaging Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, can you tell some nice stories about your spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? He continued the massage, and Prabhupada was silent. He didn't know what Prabhupada was offended by what he said, or didn't know how to take it. And then finally Prabhupada, in a very deep, grave voice, simply said, what can I say? He was a Vaikuntha man. That's all he said. Deep in thought of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Lifelong brahmachari, brilliant scholar, received the title Saraswati when he was just 16, because he was the foremost scholar in all of India on astrology. And so because he had attended a school where he translated a book from Sanskrit to Bengali on, you know, the mathematical calculations of where everything is in the heavens. Brilliant. Later he gave it up. He said it's just mundane. The real essence is devotion to Krishna. So many nice descriptions of Bhaktisiddhanta's life. Here is the Bhajan Kutir, where back in here is the sitting place where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sat to chant his 3 billion names of Krishna. And it didn't look like this when he sat there. There was a little grass residence with a grass roof that leaked. And there he sat chanting his 3 billion names of Krishna. During the Chaturmasya season, we sometimes see him, as with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, with a beard, because one of the vratas that he observed during Chaturmasya was he would not shave. Another vrata that he observed that he would eat only once a day, and what he would eat was unsalted khichdi. Kids, think about it. Not only khichdi only, but with no salt for 4 months. But not only that, he had this practice where he would, the prasad, the khichdi, was placed in a metal plate, and he put his hands behind his back and ate like a horse off the plate. And I don't recommend you try to do this, but if you do this, this is what Indra told me, what happens when you do this. There's no air that goes into your stomach. And so you can only eat a little, because, you know, we're normally eating sitting up and air goes into your stomach. But when you're sitting, leaning over like that, no air, and so you can only eat so much. So he's got this beard, and he's eating off of a plate through his beard, unsalted khichdi, and as soon as you sit up, that's it. Once a day. That's austere. Chanting 3 billions of names, you know, 3 times 64 rounds every day. Hare Krishna. So this is the Chaturmasya plate where he took food directly from his mouth, and they keep the plate in a nice glass box along with his shoes. It was a stone plate, not a metal plate. Hare Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur described that Mayapur is not different than Vrindavan, and each of the places of Mayapur are found somewhere, each of the places of Vrindavan are found somewhere in Mayapur. So with his transcendental acumen, he ascertained that in the back part of Chaitanya Gaudiya Matha is where Govardhan Hill transcendentally exists. And of course, he built a Govardhan Hill with rocks. And if you have Govardhan Hill, you also have to have Radha Kund and Shama Kund. So they have a Radha Kund, Shama Kund in the back area of Chaitanya Gaudiya Matha. And in that back area also is Gorkhishordas Babaji Maharaj's Samadhi. Very similar architecture to the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you can recognize the likeness. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur designed both. Here's the murti of Gorkhishordas Babaji Maharaj in his position of leaning over and chanting the holy name with great absorption. Gorkhishordas Babaji Maharaj was the initiating spiritual master of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And it was the only disciple that Gorkhishordas Babaji Maharaj agreed to accept. He's in his pranam mantra, we understand that he is Vairagya personified. And another Vaikuntha man. He had no patience for cheaters. And worldly people who wanted to imitate the position of a saintly person was his chief object of impatience. So his renunciation was so intense that he didn't even keep a bowl. He would sometimes take his food out of a human skull. Sometimes he would, instead of just, he was so renounced, he would just, as food, he would eat Ganges mud from the side of the river Ganges. If we tried to do that, we'd be sick instantly. But, you know, he didn't see the Ganges mud as anything other than, you know, something sacred. He would keep as his clothes, he would go to the crematorium, and when the bodies had some remnants of food, the clothing that was left after their bodies were burned, he would use that for his clothing. And he would continuously chant the holy name of the Lord and with great intensity. So much so that many, many persons understood he's an extremely elevated personality. So one time, just to get people to leave him alone, he dressed up in fine silk and sat on the veranda of a well-known prostitute, sitting in a rocking chair and waving to everybody as they like, leave me alone, because I'm just one of those pretenders. And would sit chanting on his beads. People still didn't leave him alone. So another time, he went and locked himself on the inside in the public outhouse. Those of you who've been to those things know how bad it smells. And everybody considered him to be a saintly person, but he, you know, he just wanted to be left alone, so he would stay there and chant. So the people of Navadvip, they got together and they said, you know, we can't take it, we can't stand it that he's in that smelly place. So they got the chief of police to go and plead with Gaur Kishore to not stay there. We'll provide a simple place for you. So when he came to approach Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he saw him coming and closed the door shut and locked it and said, no one's here. Leave me alone. Babaji Maharaj, we can't take it. Are the residents of Navadvip, just, you know, come out of that place and we'll give you a clean place, simple place, simple place. I come here to be left alone and you people keep bothering me. That's why I'm here. Go away. Sometimes the first pictures that I saw of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, portraits that an artist had painted, was taken from a very old photograph. He made a residence underneath an overturned boat by the side of the Ganges. And, you know, like, just hid from people so he could just chant. He had no shelter, so that was just whatever he could find. And as renounced as he was, he would regularly go to the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a householder with 10 children, and sit and hear Srimad Bhagavatam from him. Because his attraction was the message of Krishna and the chanting of the holy name, and something that's genuine, not something that's pretense. So many, the whole book describing his life, but renunciation personified, deeply, deeply, deeply attached to the holy name and with implicit faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, although he wasn't a literary person, we say he was illiterate, but he certainly knew the conclusions of the scriptures. He knew the scriptures and the conclusions of the scriptures by his spiritual strength. So this is his Samadhi Mandir in the backside of the Chaitanya Gaudiya Math. Now, here's the obvious who this is. This is Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. But what are they doing in Mayapur? Who knows? This is the residence of Murari Gupta. Because Murari Gupta, in his Mahaprakash Leela at Srivasangan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disclosed that Murari Gupta was none other than Hanuman. But Murari Gupta, although he was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, he worshipped Lord Chaitanya as his Lord and Master. He had great devotion for Lord Ram, because he's Hanuman. But within Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's Avatari, Ram is within Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there's no conflict. And Murari Gupta was very... His mood with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was simultaneously very spontaneous, with great affection and love. He loved Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so much. Whatever Mahaprabhu would say, he would do. And this was his mood. So one time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him and said, Murari, I want you to worship Krishna. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone here is worshipping Krishna, and you're worshipping Ram. Why don't you just worship Krishna? So Mahaprabhu gave that instruction. But Murari Gupta couldn't give up his worship of Ram. He tried. He couldn't give up his worship of Ram. He was up all night long in anxiety. How can I follow this instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to worship Krishna? But how can I not follow the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He's my life and soul. It was genuine spiritual anxiety. So, completely torn apart emotionally, spiritually, emotionally, he came to Mahaprabhu the next morning and said, I can't maintain my life. Not following your instruction, but how can I follow your instruction? I can't maintain my life in either way. What is the use of this life? What should I do now? Mahaprabhu said, I just wanted to test your love and show to everyone how wonderful is your devotion to the Personality of Godhead. Even with my instruction, you are unable. This is true devotion to Lord Ram. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him, appreciating what real bhakti is. Another leela that's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat is Murari Gupta. There's so many, but Murari Gupta had such affection for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he imagined that one day I will be without Mahaprabhu's association, as things happen in this world. And I won't bear to live without that association of Mahaprabhu. So his mind went in that direction. Does that work? Okay. He went. Temporarily. So he went to the marketplace and got a knife. He got a very hard blade knife that they use for cutting conch shells. You know, like making designs in the conch shell. just when one starts to grow up to the stage where they stop that noise, then another one appears. Hare Krishna. So his plan was, he took the knife and hid it in his home. His plan was he was going to commit suicide. But before that could happen, Mahaprabhu came straight away after having performed kirtan in an ecstatic mood. He came straight to Murari Gupta's home and said, "Murari, give me your knife." And Murari said, "What are you talking about? What knife?" Said, "Murari, I know what your heart is." And he went right to the place where he had the knife and grabbed it. Then he made some comment that is very beautiful. I can't remember exactly. The comment was something like, "Better that you kill me with this knife than you take your own life." Something like that. Because how could I bear my life without you? By your taking your life, you'd be depriving me of your association. And how could I live? Better that you kill me. Murari heard the words of Mahaprabhu with such love, he expressed it. He just broke down crying and fell at his feet. "Murari, promise me, you will never think like this ever again. Give up this thought completely. You are eternally my associate. I could not bear the thought of losing you." So many nice leelas. Mahaprabhu came to Murari Gupta's home in the mood of once of Lord Varaha. He was hearing Vishnu Sahasranam being chanted, and he heard the name of Lord Varaha. And suddenly he just entered into the mood of Lord Varaha. And so, understanding his mood, the Chaitanya Charitamrita depicts, he manifested the form of Varaha. So understanding Mahaprabhu's mood and being spontaneous, he picked up a pot that had water and placed the pot of water on the tusks of Lord Varaha as if it's the earth. And went here and there with Lord Varaha. Another time he was in the mood of Lord Vishnu, manifested four arms, so he had Lord Chaitanya get on his shoulders and say, "I am Garuda, I will take you wherever you like, where would you like to go?" This was in the courtyard of Srivas Thakur, and went running up and down the courtyard here and there with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his shoulders. "What place in the universe would you like to go? I will take you there at once." And everyone was seeing this lila of Mahaprabhu and Murari Gupta, thinking, how fortunate is Murari Gupta, understanding the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In a similar way, as at the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this murti was found when they excavated the temple of Murari Gupta, exactly as it's described in Bhakti Ratnakar. The distance from, it's because it's back behind the roadway. You have to go along a long narrow strip and in between two agricultural fields. Anyway, so exactly as it was understood from Bhakti Ratnakar, when they're excavating the temple, they found this large deity that was previously worshipped by Murari Gupta. One other place that we'll visit very quickly is that the house of Nandanacharya, just outside the gate, Nandanacharya Bhavan. And inside the gate, there's a nice temple room, very nice. Here's the altar closed, And here's the altar open. Gaudiya Devi is in the center. One of the temples established by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And at the house of Nandanacharya is the place where Lord Nityananda hid himself before their first meeting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For those of you not familiar with the Leela, Lord Nityananda is the manifestation of Lord Balaram. And as Balaram was the elder brother of Krishna, so Lord Nityananda was elder to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by some 14 years, something like that. So, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his Sankirtan pastimes, the two lords, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, had not met, because the mood of Lord Nityananda was simply to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sankirtan pastime. So when the Sankirtan pastime came, he left that place where he was staying, which was in Vrindavan, because he had been going on tour to all the holy places in all of India, and spent extensive time in Vrindavan, and left Vrindavan to come and join Lord Chaitanya, and he hid himself in the house of Nandanacharya. So Chaitanya Bhagavat describes that Lord Nityananda called all the devotees one day and said, "Last night I had a most amazing dream. In that dream, I saw a golden chariot drawn by fine white horses. And on top of the chariot, or riding in the chariot, was a beautiful figure of a most wonderful looking personality, all dressed in blue garments and radiant face with lotus petal eyes. And he was smiling with such glee and joy. And he asked, 'Where is my Lord and Master? I have come to see him.'" And he kept asking the same question again and again, "Where is my Lord and Master? I have come to see him." I think the meaning of this dream is that a great personality has come to Navadvip. So he sent two devotees to go looking for this great personality, find out where he is in Navadvip and bring him here. So Haridas Thakur and Srivas Pandit went searching for 10 hours throughout all of Navadvip, and they came back very disappointed, reporting, "We couldn't find this mysterious personality." Lord Chaitanya smiled and said, "I know where he is. He's at the house of Nandanacharya." And so he brought all the devotees to the house of Nandanacharya, and the meeting of the two lords took place. The description is very, very beautiful. Lord Nityananda came onto the porch of the house of Nandanacharya, and when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became stunned. He stood motionless like a tree, like a statue. And the two lords embraced, and all the devotees were amazed to see the display of transcendental affection between the two lords. They had kirtan, and then they went to the house of Srivas Pandit. There's three meetings of persons who hid themselves. One of the persons who hid themselves in the house of Nandanacharya was Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya was invited by Lord Chaitanya to come and see Lord Nityananda. So he sent Ramai. So Ramai is one of the brothers of Srivas Pandit. So Ramai went to Advaitacharya's home in Shantipur and informed him that Lord Chaitanya has called for you to come and join him. He wants you to meet Lord Nityananda. and appreciate his divinity. So Advaitacharya was very, very happy. He told his wife, gather paraphernalia for worship, and told Ramai, I want Mahaprabhu to display his divinity. So I am going to hide myself. Don't tell him where I am. But I want him to show his omniscience so he will know where I am. So Ramai came back with that message. Advaitacharya went and hid himself in Nandacharya's home. So Lord Chaitanya, understanding how Advaitacharya was forcing him to show his divinity, so he did. He took the devotees to the home of Nandanacharya, or he sent Ramai to the house of Nandanacharya and told him, Mahaprabhu knows where you are, and he wants you to come to Srivaspada's home. He's inviting you again. Please come at once. So Advaitacharya came and worshipped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there. Then another time, this is also depicted at the house of Nandanacharya. One time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was hiding. Anybody read Bengali? Can you read Bengali? What does it say there, below there?
Nandanacharya Sriman Mahaprabhu.
What's at the top?
He stayed in Nandanacharya's.
Okay. So this is Nandanacharya and his wife, and there, to honor them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and spent some days in seclusion where the devotees were to not know where he was, so that he could give his association to Nandanacharya. And that ends our visit to Antardweep, but also where Nandanacharya's home is in Rudradweep, as is, we'll go back, as is our Shidam Mayapur. We saw these pictures before, but I'm looking for the, yeah. Here's where Rudradweep is, and there's where Antardweep is. So Antardweep is, the Bhaktisiddhanta road goes like this, cuts through Antardweep and ends up in Srimantadweep. That's where the Jagannath temple is and Kolavichar Sridhar's place is and the tomb of Chankazi is. So the house of Nandanacharya is right around in here and in Rudradweep. Because here's the Jalangi, here's the path of the Ganga going up. So we're right around in here in Rudradweep. Something's wrong. Okay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Not quite the same as being there, but it's still nice. Any discussion? Yeah.
Concerning the nectaral kirtans that
they had at Srivastava. Yeah. You mentioned how they would chant Prima Nam Sankirtan behind locked doors. So the purpose was to keep out disturbing elements? It was to give unimpeded association to his pure devotees and to nurture their devotion. And as their devotion nurtured, then his lila was enacted to take that same devotion into a public place, into the streets of Navadvipa. from that breaking of the drum that led to this civil disobedience against the Chankazi, and from that day forward it was public. So before the public, it was just to nurture the devotion of his associates in an atmosphere of purity. So unqualified people were not permitted in that incubation stage or the growing of their devotion stage. Lila. Yes. Well, go ahead.
Was it that unqualified persons were? Because I thought I remembered, like, Srivasa's mother.
Yeah.
Hiding behind a wall.
Mother-in-law.
Okay. So she wasn't causing a disturbance, and she was so quiet, she was hiding.
Yeah.
But somehow.
And the brahmachari who wasn't in pure devotion, but thought of himself as a great soul. Everyone thought of him as a great soul because he was so austere and drank only milk. And he wanted to also see, but finally Srivasa let him in. And in those two cases, there specifically, Mahaprabhu stopped the chanting. Said, "I'm not feeling ecstasy. Is there some impure person here that shouldn't be here?" The Leela. Not that Mahaprabhu can't experience love of God in any circumstance.
Mm-hmm. It just made me think that one might, upon hearing that, feel a little discouraged that obviously we don't chant. We chant way below the ring and not understood. We have the neighbor atmosphere, all of you turn on the TV or whatever, but they're chanting Premanam, and they could still sense that something disturbs.
Well, like when Srivasa's son died, it was some time before Mahaprabhu stopped and said, "There's something." It's Leela. In the Leela, there's a message. The message is, we want to make the atmosphere pure. And your point is, well, we're not. So that can be discouraging. So we're eligible for chanting the holy name. But if one who wants to experience the pure holy name in our practicing state, we strive for purity. Yes.
The deities of Jagannath Mishra and the deity of Varanika, so they were the deities that they originally worshipped, right?
Yes, yes.
So how did they manage to fall into a state of falling into the ground?
That we weren't around to know. So there, how it is over a period of time that a deity can be neglected, that also happens. Finding of a deity in a, like, the Gopal deity of Madhavendra Puri. That was out of fear of the Muslims, they left. The Jagannath deity at Jagannath Mandir was just, you know, over generations, the children became less interested in the worship than their parents, and then less and less and less, and no one cared for the deity. The deity of Gorgadadhar that are worshipped at Champahati, they were left in a shack. One Shakta would once a week go and ring a bell and make some offering and go home. Because no one cared. Just neglect. So neglect and neglect. Over time, neglect. And then the course of the Ganges shifted and there was underground. So neglect. Many, many deities in ISKCON were installed by Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, in the heyday when there were like so many devotees and so many Brahmins to worship the deities. And the heyday is gone, so now we're importing pujaris. And that's not nice. We need to restore the preaching so that we have local devotees that are worshiping the deities. least committed persons who are inclined to deity worship, and the grahasthas can maintain those persons so they can have a very simple brahminical standard of life and worship the deity peacefully. So that's part of the local, both are parts of the local plan that's being revived. Some really committed pujaris who know what standards are and want to maintain the standards and want to worship the deity, and we take care of them. They're necessities, so they can worship the deity with real devotion. And increase the preaching so that some committed brahmacharis that want to worship the deity can do so. When I go back to New York, each time I go back to New York and find there's Sharad Bihari, and there's Anubhava, and there's Mother Satya, worshipping the deities. Of course, it's not three sets of deities, but you know, it's not easy to stay in one place and just do that, and stay pure, and just do that for years and years. It's really I had planned to publicly express my appreciation for these two devotees, for their staunch devotion to Radha Govinda. It's not, you know, in our modern times, that's not ordinary. It's a great testimony of their Krishna consciousness. Anything else?
I have a question.
Okay.
I would understand why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada with all these really austere vratas.
Why not? That was his nature. He was a brahmachari and a renounced person. So there, for Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita that the performance of tapa, tapo divyam, is a means of purification for a Vaishnava. So there are tapas that are prescribed for Vaishnavas. Observing Ekadasi vratas is one of them. Observing appearance day of the Lord vratas is another. Observing Kartik vratas is another. So these vratas, the way that he did what he didn't just like make it up. It's in Hari Bhakti Vilas. There are, just like with deity worship, there are levels of standards of deity worship. And there's like the minimum standard. You know, if you're going to worship deities, you must do this. So like with Ekadasi, there's a minimum standard, no beans and grains. But, you know, there are increased standards of vratas that are Vaishnava vratas, not imagined or something. Standard vratas that by so doing, one increases one's sense control and one's focus of the mind upon the Supreme Lord, because these are very auspicious days. So Kartik Vrata is auspicious. It's for those who wish to make advancement in spiritual life, they can observe different vratas. So it's very common in ISKCON, it's certainly common in Gaudiya Vaishnavism for the fourth month of Chaturmasya, the Kartik month, to make some vrata. So he observed an entire Chaturmasya vrata that was very intense for purification, control of the senses, fixing the mind on the Supreme Lord, advancing in Krishna consciousness. It made him very powerful. Control of the senses increases one's determination. The opposite not properly controlling one's senses when determination is lost, or is weakened. Yeah?
Raj, you was talking about conversation between Mahaprabhu and Member Swami.
Yeah.
And how he took the different principles from different...
Two from each of the four.
Two from each of the succession.
Yeah.
Are those principles, especially like you think about Gopi Bhava,
yeah,
and Radha Rasya, are those manifested in the deity forms, like in Panchatattva deity forms?
These are teachings. Your question is, are teachings manifested in the deity form?
Well, the Gopi Bhava especially, I was thinking...
No, it's a teaching. What it meant specifically, and it said, so the term is there, but it's the supremely elevated position of the gopis. And that was a teaching of Mahaprabhu. And it's part of our, you know, our core understanding amongst all the devotees. The Madhurya Rasa is the highest. And in Madhurya Rasa, Srimati Radharani is the supreme. That's one of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. And is it found in deity worship? Yes, it's in, there she is, Srimati Radharani. Does that address your question or no?
It does partly, but just thinking more in terms of in the Panchatattva deity form, how are we...
Gadadhara Pandit. But that's, you know, he's part of the Panchatattva. It's not... I don't know where you're going at. Are you clear about your question? Because I'm not.
Well, the question is, like, the Gopi Bhava, like you said, Srimati Radharani's presence with Krishna in all the temples. That's kind of...
But it's not exactly, you know, it's she's the manifest... She's not the manifestation of Gopi Bhava. She's the manifestation of the Lord's internal potency. As Radha is Ladini Shakti, the internal potency of the Supreme Lord is manifest as Gadadhara Pandit. And you keep, you know, want to put Gopi Bhava in there, and I, you know, what's going on here? Where are you going with this? I don't understand. Maybe we can discuss afterwards. I don't know what's going on. Something's going on. Anything else?
Oh.
Yes. Shall you tell them?
Maharaj, hearing the pastime, Shivas Pandit lost his son. And so, obviously, from his real life, from what he shared with the family members, one can clearly understand that he was on totally similar platform.
Yes.
So, how can we, as sadhakas, not misunderstand the pastime and
neglect our children? Well, don't imitate. Don't drink an ocean of poison by imitating Lord Shiva. Don't roll on the ground in ecstasy imitating Lord Chaitanya and his associates when kirtan starts. We don't imitate, because our understanding is, you know, we should appreciate if we want to create an auspicious passing for our loved ones. You can't find a more auspicious passing. Just like we were reading in the Bhagavatam class this morning, Lord Brahma was appreciating when Hiranyaksha was killed by Varaha. What a glorious departure. With one slap of the hoof of Lord Varaha, he was finished. But he saw the personality of Godhead standing before him. And so he was made sinless and, you know, granted freedom from the clutches of material existence. How glorious. And that's what Shiva. So, why should one lament if one, a loved one, is in the presence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? In their very home, and they're hearing his kirtan. How glorious. So if we can create that for our loved ones, wow. But, you know, at least something. Yeah. Well, we can't imitate, but appreciate the principle. Something over here? Yes.
It's about the purity, Maharaj. There's a purity of the mind and the body. Mm-hmm. So what are the standards and how much one can cultivate and how much is a mercy? Is the purity of the body and the mind, and what are the standards like?
Well, that's a very broad question. Can you... You have something particular in mind, or you want a list?
The purity of the mind and the purity of the body.
Well, standard
how can
of...
we get...
How can we get there, or what is it?
It's both actually, so what if you can...
Well, the standard of purity of mind is it just stays with Krishna, it doesn't go anywhere else. That's the standard of purity. And anything else is less. So we strive for that. We strive for the standard. So we do things that help us to bring the mind to Krishna. And we do things with the body that help us purify the senses. That's engaging the senses. Savaima na Krishna padara vindayo. It's a verse that describes the practice of Maharaj Ambarish, that he followed that practice of sadhana, brought his mind to the deity form of the Lord. When we heard the Bhagavatam description about the position of Hiranyaksha, like the yogis, like a great yogi who fixes his mind in the form of the Lord and by so doing, at the time of death, achieves the spiritual world. So there's the mechanical process of fixing the mind, and there's the devotional process, and that is whatever we do, we try to connect it with thought of Krishna. This is for Krishna. That's how we connect it with Krishna, with thought of Krishna, in devotion. So, by purifying the senses, we're also fixing the mind. By choosing a free will choice of engaging the senses in that which is pleasing to Krishna, and not engaging our senses otherwise. And other things. In this world, there's so many things, too many things, that are designed specifically, you know, to attract the senses. It's not, you know, necessarily diabolically to keep them away from Krishna, but that's the net result, you know, unintentionally or intentionally. So we don't let our mind go to those things. We don't engage in those things. It's a very bad program for the gross national product. We're not good consumer units. We just don't take interest in those things. By sadhana, by practice. So there's where the principle of purity. It starts from our devotional practice, but it extends into what we do in practical day-to-day life. Okay, so you're a school teacher by profession, so one is to go to become a school teacher, because that's a way I can make a living, or I like being with children, or I like teaching, you know, I, and take the same profession and do it for Krishna. And when one puts that thought behind the activity, one finds all kinds of ways to be in service to Krishna when doing the same occupation. And that Krishna thought is there. And then the mind becomes pure. And the senses become pure. Rather than I like, I don't like. It's what's in Krishna's interest. How to bring this to the point of Krishna's interest. that the Krishna's interest to serve, Krishna will smile. And all other fields of activity in the home, when shopping, you know, doing one's duties of life, not only at the temple. There's purification and the rest is contamination. Devotional service to Krishna can be done anywhere if the mind is pure. And if that's my objective, that brings the mind to the point of purity where I can see service to Krishna in everything.
But sometimes, Maharaj, you try so hard, you are successful. Some days you try so hard,
sure,
you're successful. So there's like a mercy factor, which is...
Well, it the hills and the valleys topic. And we're not in control of that, because we're not the controller. But there's one thing that we can do when we're in a valley or we're at a hill. Try to please Krishna. So then it doesn't matter. I mean, ultimately, Krishna will carry us to Him because of that determination, that commitment to our relationship with Him. So how you know, Krishna may be wanting to see so many things, but He may be wanting to see how strong is your determination, how strong is your faith and your determination when, you know, things are going wrong. So maybe that, maybe some purification. And then when I'm undergoing purification, that's ecstatic, although it may feel uncomfortable. Because I like the happy feeling instead of the purification feeling. But it's happy too. It's just my attachment that makes it not happy. So, where should your attention go? Your attention should go to your relationship with Krishna. And Krishna sends resources, like devotees, and the holy name, and kirtan, and teachings, and, you know, prompts from within your heart, and prompts from outside, from different sources, to remind you of Him. He's just, you know, orchestrating the whole thing to reciprocate with this one thing, desire to be in this relationship with Krishna. It's all wonderful if one can see it in that way. So what do we want? Do we want to feel good, or do we want a relationship with Krishna? And if Krishna so desires, I can be in whatever the circumstance, provided my consciousness is there just to be in service. Then it's hill or valley. Or desert. Little anecdotal example of this. I was at our Japa retreat in Gita Nagari over the Labor Day weekend. I was staying in the same house with Badahari. We were coming down to the temple for Mangalarti after the 64 round day. So I just asked him, how did your chanting go? You were at that event? No? Some of the devotees were. His kirtans are like heart melting. He is, just such a... Well, you experience his kirtan here at the Festival of the Holy Name, so you know. And his kirtans are always like that. Although he disclosed to me when that kirtan, that, you know, that Nama Yajna, he told me later that when that began, he was struggling. You know, everyone else was flying in ecstasy, and he was struggling. Then it just kind of Krishna took over, and he wasn't struggling anymore. But the 24-hour kirtan, excuse me, the 64-round day, so I asked him, how did it go? I thought, you know, his kirtans are great. Imagine what his japa's like. So how'd it go? His reply was, it was a desert. I said, what? He said, I was in a desert the whole day. It was so dry. Except for the very end, then Krishna took me out of the desert. So, then he commented, but I know, I have faith, that Krishna was there. I just wasn't tasting Krishna. It was just something that I needed to go through to help me get closer to Krishna. You know, he wasn't like down, discouraged, woe is me. Do I do? Singing the blues. It wasn't like that at all. It wasn't just matter of fact either, reporting. It was dry. But it didn't discourage his faith in Krishna and his eagerness to be in his relationship with Krishna. So, we're to speak of ourselves, right? So from day to day, it's up and down. That's as one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, it's this steadiness up to the point of steady ecstasy, sthayi bhav, and from that the whole unfolding of bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. So we have to qualify ourselves for that. Stay steady even in those hills and valleys. And what's that? What's the object that you focus upon for that steadiness? What's that light in the darkness that you're following? Relationship with Krishna. Loving, just continue to love Krishna and serve Krishna lovingly. Whether it's up or down. And that's that steadiness in service to Krishna. Wanting. We did this little exercise with japa the other day with the Soul Connection group. A little japa session where it was with chanting, call Krishna, please, you know, from the heart. Krishna, please accept me. We broke our relationship with Krishna. Like, so somebody that has a relationship with somebody, they break the relationship. They become regretful that they broke the relationship. And a whole lot of time, like, so many lifetimes have passed. We're sojourning in the material world, forgetting Krishna. Now we're trying to reestablish that relationship. We want Krishna to accept us once again in that relationship. So if it takes some time, that's the price we have to pay for all of our foolishness. Not just this one lifetime of foolishness. So I'm ready to pay the price. Wanting that relationship is the key thing. Then you find steadiness. You find purity. The impurity is the unsteadiness. Anishtita bhakti is because of contaminations of the heart. So steadiness comes from the contaminations are behind you. Mostly. Nishtha is anarthas are mainly gone. Anything else? Shreya? No? Just stretching, huh?
Okay.
Yes.
Again, these pastimes that you narrated were quite out there. Specifically in the pastime where Lord Chaitanya has given his heart to Gaurigupta about that he cannot live without his association. And then continuing the theme that yesterday you were describing about, it's we who have broken the relationship with Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada also says that Krishna is more eager to actually see us than we are eager to get back. So hearing all these and knowing where we are, what all is there in our heart, how can we possibly imagine that Krishna is eager to see us, or that it can really happen in this lifetime, or how many?
I don't see why any of the former stuff has any impact at all on the latter. Krishna doesn't interfere with our free will. We're off in, la-la land, and Krishna's letting us go. But he's inviting us to come back to him. And we're thinking about it. Or doing something but holding on. So he doesn't interfere. He's inviting us. He's encouraging us. Just like that little role play that you have the kids do. There's the obstacles, but then there's the resources. Look at those resources. Krishna's inviting us.
So does Krishna do that? I mean, he may not personally speak to us, but he does that with his devotees?
Yeah.
Is that how we should understand?
Yeah. I mean, look at how this house is decorated with that which is going to remind one of Krishna. Go to any one of the other houses around here, and that's not there. Where did this come from? It's Krishna's manifestation. And the devotees, and the prasad, and the kirtan, so on. Getting up early tomorrow morning to perform Mangalarti and chant the holy name. It's all mercy.
So that's practically Krishna inviting us.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's a loving gesture from his side. There's nothing lacking from his side. In terms of his eagerness to have us return. We're just, attached to some conception that says what happiness is. And we have this idea of what happiness is. We want, to bring our dirty laundry in with us into the temple room. Our baggage. Our ideas of what happiness is. And what Krishna has to do to show us that he loves us. We got our own ideas. Just tune into the Krishna channel, we got the real understanding. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.